When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello friends, welcome to Avatar, The Last Airbender, the extended edition. I'm Ez.
And I am Latine.
And friends, we are back with another episode. We have finished the series, actually.
Yes, we have. Just we are guilty of plowing through it.
Binging. We are guilty of binging.
Yes.
And not afraid to say it. Spent all last night watching this series. We love it. So I think we said in episode one, we wanted to talk about the cast. Because I was sort of like, we just dove right in. So I wanted to meet them and get to know them. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of research, and I have some information I want to share with you.
I can't wait.
Share with our listeners. And I hope people just get to know them a little bit better, you know, because we dove into this episode and we had, the series really didn't do any research going into it. I mean, we cover multiple fandoms, and so we dove right in there. But, okay, so let's start with the bad man himself, the main bad boy of the series. You know who I'm talking about.
Dallas.
Who do you think I'm talking about?
Oh, the main bad. I mean, I would think, hopefully, you talk about the Fire Lord, but are you talking about
That's
Zuko?
Right. That's right. I'm talking about Gordon Cormier is Aang the Avatar, the Last Airbender. He's a tatted up bad boy here to save the world. Can we talk about his acting skills for a second? What do you think? What did you think of his performance so far bringing Aang to life? I know you thought I was going to go with the Fire Lord, but I mean, he's tatted up.
He is.
He has the tattoos. People forget that. He's very
Which
childlike.
Look fantastic.
And, oh, they look great. Yeah. And especially when they're glowing. They look really good.
No,
but what do you think?
I love his performance. He is such a great Aang because Aang is full of emotions. He's just a child, but he has to grow up in no time. He has to think everything he faces is hurting him inside. And you can see those emotions, those ranges of emotions in his face. He has really good facial expressions.
Yes, I agree. Yep.
His face just looks like so cute, like such a, his big, the big eyes and the cool tattoos. He is just awesome. Fantastic job. What do you think?
So I love him. He totally captures the spirit of Aang. I think he stays playful. He's a really good cadence with his delivery. So because there's times where he's talking to Katara and his master and just anyone really, he has the serious, playful kid, but yet can also deliver, can go into like what Gyatso taught him.
Right. Wise lines.
Like, yes. You know, yes. Yeah.
Wisdoms. So, sorry, that's it. Wisdoms.
Yeah, wisdoms. I mean, I think, you know, you said it earlier, like the things that he can do without dialogue are also really important. And I think that's the extra level that a lot of these actors have is that they can, without speaking lines, you're looking at their face, their body language, and how they convey emotions, a seriousness or empathy or whatever it might be. And I think he does that really well. So some of the things that he is sort of going through or some of the themes, I guess, that we discuss in Avatar is this responsibility or is it burden, you know? What is it both, right? Yeah. That he has this responsibility and burden. Identity, who are you? Aang needs to be uniquely different from the other avatars, right?
Yeah.
So he does that. I think again, you know, Gordon is bringing all of himself into this character and he goes and he meets these very, very different avatars.
Yes.
So it's just, it's really cool to see the way they're bringing it together. Friendship between Team Avatar is huge. And then letting go of the past, looking towards the future, and then finally providing hope to the world. Like, there's a lot of things that I think Aang has to do in the series, and I just think he's done a really, really good job of sort of capturing all of that. Also, we're like, there's definitely, I know there's some stunt doubles that are used in things, but I know that I was looking some stuff up on, on him, and he's a skateboarder. And so he's very athletic as well, too. Yeah. And he likes to kind of, you know, so I'm sure there's some
That's
of that.
That's what I thought, that they do a couple of those stunts themselves, because they need to be athletic. I think both Zuko and Gordon,
Zuko and Gordon.
Aang and Zuko. Yeah. Katara has really cool moves that she shows off, and they need to be at least I know this is, those are different parts, right? Acting and conveying emotions. And yeah, I was wondering about that too. Like acting and the fighting scenes is two different things. And I was hoping they cast someone who knows kind of both, but I can see where they need, for these great stunts, they need someone who trains day and night to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think like, and through the rest of this cast, you're going to kind of see they all, well, one, they're young and then, but some of them have real good martial arts skills or they're like trained in something. The stunt doubles are great as well too, but there's this mix of physicality as well as emotion that they need to sort of convey and bring in Avatar, and they're definitely doing it. So all right, next up we have Kiandio, as in Katara. The bringer of change. Kiandio is a First Nation Mohawk actress, singer, songwriter. She literally is Katara. So let's talk about her acting just a little bit. For me, I'll start. Yeah. She is unique. I think she's very unique. She's calm. She's collected. Yeah. She has an easy smile. I think she just really makes everybody feel comfortable. She has like a stillness to her. And I know later on, like, as it picks up, I mean, she's definitely also a warrior. And the bringer of change, right? Yeah. By the end of the series. But I think she's doing an amazing job. The reason I wanted to go over the cast so much is because I think about Stranger Things and how well, again, that's a young cast.
True.
And this is a very young cast. And so these individuals are doing, I think, a wonderful, wonderful job. Yeah. And she just has like a brightness to her, you know?
Yes. I think she is, to me, I think she's fantastic. She's, to me, almost a better Katara than the animated Katara. I love Katara. Okay. Yeah. She's one of my favorite characters when I first started watching the season. And then later on, it's a problem. In Avatar Last Airbender, it's a problem to say who's your favorite character.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No. Yeah.
Because
I'm going to do it
later
on. They're
all so good. They all have their own journey, development. It's so well done. And I have such a hard time picking. And same thing with the acting, the actors, the roles they play.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, they're all, and they're all really good. So like, again, I think that's the thing too, is that as we go through this list of cast members, these actors and actresses, they are all good. The reason I wanted to do this whole episode is because as we're going through, I'm like, okay, that kid's awesome. This person's awesome. Yeah. This person's great. Yeah. Like their delivery. It. Yeah. It's like over and over and over again. I'm like, they're doing an amazing job. As I learned more about them and sort of their roots and their culture too, I thought that was super important that Netflix decided to sort of bring this into the show.
I think that's fantastic. Yeah. That she has this water tribe vibe to her. And I love how you said she is more calm.
Yes.
And innocent. And the Katara we know from the animated show, she's even more, oh, let's go, let's do this, I want to fight her. And even though that, you know, we were hoping to get that, but I like her version of Katara. It more, to be honest.
I thought you would. I mean, because I know what you mean. She's very, it's not that this character is not strong. She is strong, but in a more quiet, sort of reserved way. But like everything that she does is sort of in her face and in her smile and just in her soft words and stuff. And then she grows into these warrior moments too. So I guess what I mean too is that the characters, we know that they have this wide range of emotion. They're very dynamic. And so the actors have to be able to pull that off too.
Right.
And for young actors like this, that this is like their big role.
Right.
It's amazing to kind of see that they've been able to pull that off. So she definitely has. She's also a singer, and so I keep kind of wondering, are they going to throw like a song in?
Is that'd be fun.
I mean, singing? I don't know. I was wondering, in the animated series, did she ever do any? Yeah, I mean, she.
Iroh did. Iroh was the one who was singing.
We have the Secret Tunnel song, but she didn't sing that one. So unfortunately,
that was cool.
Yeah, but it would be kind of cool. It'd be kind of cool if they did something in season 2 or 4, throw a little something in there. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Next up, we have Ian Owsley, who is Sokka. And I literally mean he is Sokka in his own live action way. So Ian is a mixed race Native American and a Cherokee tribe member with a black belt in Taekwondo. Yeah, I know. It's really cool. So there's actually a bunch of videos of him that I found where he's just kind of going through some of his training and different things. And I'm thinking, okay, we're going to get maybe like season 2, season 3, some more leveled up Sokka. I mean, he does some great stuff in season 1, but I just feel like there is some untapped potential, you know, choreography or something coming down the line. Epic moments.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, Sokka has to have his big sword choreography.
Yeah. right.
playing out later. So, but you're saying Ian could maybe train Maria in real life.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yes. Yeah, I mean, actually, probably. Yeah, which is kind of funny, right? Because, yeah. I mean, she's training him. And so it was like really, really cool. So the thing with Sokka is this. I actually, of you know, going into this and just being a fan of the animated series, I was nervous for this actor, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
I was like, okay, he's going to have to really pull this off. Mm. He has to be a warrior. He has to be an engineer. And he has to be a hero.
Yeah.
Right. And he is literally all of those things. He does all of that in this role. And the main thing is he has to be humorous.
Right.
He's the funny.
Yeah.
And in his own way, he is the funny guy. And it's just it's the dryness of his humor. It's the delivery.
Yep.
It's his facial expressions. In episode two, when he has the little dance sort of choreography scene, right, with Maria, when she pulls his face back to him or whatever, I could have spit out my God. He looks so goofy.
Yeah.
He looks so goofy and in love with her. And she's sort of like knowingly like, okay, this guy's into me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's perfect. I think he does just a fantastic job. And he is a fan favorite character. I know people mm-hmm. really like him a lot. A lot of the students that I teach will talk about Sokka being their main guy.
Yeah.
And he's just everything in the series. So I felt like it's
so relatable too. Because
He's not a bender.
Right. He's not a bender. He doesn't have special powers. He's the normal guy.
Yeah.
And somehow he has to make it work and find his own path. And his arc is also great. And I think it's cool that they didn't overdo it because, you know, in the animated show, which is very targeted for kids, was a lot of humor, which was great. But, but sometimes you're like, oh, yep, that's cute, but not always necessary. And I think they did a great job having balance with his humorous side and then his serious side.
Right, because you can overdo it. Comedy is a hard thing to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, in the animated series, same thing that you said, which is it's over the top. You can do so many different things in drawings. You can make his face go crazy and do, like, you can have his jaw drop
right
on the ground, right?
Then they do that.
Ian can't really pull that off, but this is something I felt like he brought his own Sokka, and it's very close, very close. He even looks a lot like him. He's got that, I don't know, just his fit. He just fits perfectly, and I felt like he was just a great call for Sokka, and I love him, and I can't wait to see more of him. I can't wait to see more of his skills play out in season two and season three. So, okay, now let's move into a few more fiery characters.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Dallas Liu is Zuko.
Yeah.
This is really cool. So I think he is. So I said Sokka is a character you have to get right, but Zuko is probably more so important, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Because he's everything. All the dynamic pieces to his character and just his arc. If you know the whole story, season one, two, and three, where he goes, where he starts.
Yeah.
And they already started doing some of that in terms of flashbacks in season one. So I thought we were going to just see Zuko be this angry kind of pent up, you know, character who was just, you know, single-mindedly going after the Avatar.
Right.
They showed us all sorts of emotions with him in flashbacks. For me, he's the perfect Zuko.
He is.
He's intense. His acting is emotional. He has a ton of range. In flashbacks, we see him as a calm, boyish, optimistic. We see him as caring and kind. And then we see him as distant.
Yeah.
Alone. Angry, driven, right? So, and he also has a ton, and you can tell this, right? He has a ton of martial arts talent.
Yeah.
He does, because I looked it up too, and I was like, he had to have some sort of skill or some training, and he definitely does. That's pretty cool to see. Also, Dallas actually met with Dante Bosco.
Oh, yeah. And what such a nice guy. He was like, he really said that was such a burden because everyone, the whole fandom, loves you, Dante.
Right.
You were the perfect Zuko. I grew up with you as Zuko.
Yes.
His voice, it's just, you're Zuko.
Yeah.
And they were both so nice, so cordial, so like, you know, appreciative towards one another that they both bring their version of Zuko to life. And I thought it was wonderful that they got to meet.
Yeah, that they called it, that their team sort of got together and that before he went into the role, he sort of asked him, you know, about just for some tips and advice. And then it was just respect both ways. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which I thought was really, really, really cool. We'll actually put a link to that interview in the description because I really think you guys should go check it out. It's a lot of fun just to see them going back and asking different things about the character and what they have to bring to it in terms of the emotion and the range that they had to sort of provide.
Yes, because there were some fantastic scenes. We see a lot of when we have the flashbacks of young Zuko, who is, I don't know, he has this innocent chipper, like demeanor. Yeah. Even with Iroh, with his uncle, when he gets ready and helps him, he's just such a sweet boy, actually.
He is, yes.
And how that changes, they do a lot of like this looking in the mirror, and then you have
flashback.
Smiling boy
yep.
versus then the angry teenager who is, just full of
scarred.
Hate right now. And scarred, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And he does that so well. Yeah,
he really does. And I thought like that is what did it for me. I mean, I didn't think they were to get people sort of locked into this character and all of these different characters to go to the flashbacks and to bring some things that maybe we see later in season two and season three, just hints or just sort of speckling this in here throughout season one was really important because I am so locked in.
Right.
When he is angry, he is angry.
Yeah.
When he is, I mean, he's so lost sometimes and he's an outcast. He's also like, you know, I mean, we're gonna get, I don't want to do any spoilers yet because we have other summaries to come, but like the reveals in this and even some of the things that I think they changed from the animated series to make his character even more dynamic and have to have more depth, the changes that they made for the live action were huge. So it was just, he's cool, he's great. So Dallas Liu is Zuko.
I mean, just also a shout out to the makeup team. His scar looks fantastic. Not over the top, because in the animated show, it's a huge like red.
Almost
half of his face.
Right.
And they did just
enough.
Good, subtle. You can see it for sure, but it's not over the top. And it just looks really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. He's great. So, okay, now that leads us to my favorite character and honestly one of my favorite actors.
Right.
So this is Paul Sung-Hyung Lee, Uncle Iroh, the Dragon of the West.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So he is a South Korean-Canadian actor. I love that he is a huge nerd. He's a huge nerd.
Yeah.
I think he's into Star Wars and other fandoms. He's clearly into Avatar. You know, they said when they were casting for this show, you had to be a fan of the anime.
That's animated. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, just like Luna. Just like...
Yes.
Ivana Lynch. Oh, my gosh. She was a huge fan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I think that is important because then you know the characters. You know not just only your character, but you know the other characters in depth too, and you care.
Yeah, for sure.
You care about those characters.
For sure. Yeah, and I think that is huge that they got everyone sort of had some background, some understanding to what this series is and what it has meant to people. Now he, and then I'll just say this. So the reason I think he's so perfect for this, he's literally the heart. So Uncle Iroh is the heart and soul. Yeah. He is the heart and soul of this series.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to get this right. And I just feel like Paul brings, he has a warmness to him, you know?
Yes,
a sincerity to him.
Oh,
and
it's such a friendly face. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so easygoing. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of interviews with him because I've seen him in Mandalorian and he sort of got into who he is. He just, I can't explain it, but something about his energy and his spirit, what he puts off is just so good and kind.
Yeah.
And there's a deeper sort of almost a humorous wisdom. You know,
yes.
He almost has like wisdom with humor at the same time. You're like, wow,
this guy is Uncle Iroh.
Yeah, for sure. I know. Exactly. So that's why he is literally he's perfect. He's the actual perfect casting here.
Yeah.
So, but what do you think? How has your Uncle Iroh experience been? I'll say this before, just to kind of lead you into your thoughts. I have never cried or choked up so many times over one character. And it's wow. Cue the music.
Yeah.
And then, right? I know, right?
And it's over.
And it's over. The music hits, and then he just had, you can see in his face, you can see his face drop, and you can see him go backward in his eyes to memories.
Oh, and
you're like, wow. And yet that is all just in your presence, in your demeanor. And he does that, I'm just like, wow, dude, holy smokes. Yeah, I mean, I cried 3 or 4 times, at least. I'll admit it.
Yeah.
And if you're not crying, I don't know who you are. Again, like I said, click off. You don't need to be watching this series.
I love that they made him a center, like a very center character or what do you call it? Like, yes, he is a main character for sure. But
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I think wherever Zuko is, it's almost like Uncle Iroh's right there. And even though, yes, that is the case also in the animated show, it feels like even more here in the live action show that he's very present.
They brought him forward more because when I'm first watching this, when you first introduced me to it, watching season one, and I'm not really, he just seems like he felt like a comedy character to me. Mm-hmm. He's all about food. He's all about different things. He's very lighthearted. Calm down.
It takes a while until you learn his backstory and why he is the way he is and what happened to him.
For sure. But then as you go back on a rewatch, and I challenge anybody to go back and do this, watch season one, the animated series, and look for hidden bits of wisdom and what he says. And this show literally captured all of that. We're going to talk about it in the next episode. Some of the very subtle things that Uncle Iroh does that are just nods to greater wisdom, power, that show he's a master, but show it in a humorous, kind way, a very different way, right? If that makes sense.
And it's difficult to deliver those lines really convincingly, and I think Paul did a fantastic job.
Yeah, agreed. So, okay, keeping it fiery here, we're moving on to Daniel Dae-Kim, Fire Lord Ozai, the second son brother of Uncle Iroh, father of Zuko. They're calling him the Fire Daddy online. That's what they're calling him, the Fire Daddy. I swear to you, which is actually wild. There are interviews where he is responding to thirst tweets from fans. I've seen it, and it's crazy. He's an awesome actor, though. He's actually been in quite a few different things, so I do think he was the perfect choice for Fire Lord Ozai. And I hope you're noticing a theme here. I think this series was perfectly cast.
Yes.
Perfectly.
I agree.
I can't think of a single one of these cast members that I've been like, I don't really know. Right? Yeah. No. Even like just everything about the cast has been perfect. So they're putting a lot of money, thought, effort into the show. Fire Lord Ozai is a jerk. He's misguided.
Yeah.
I don't like him, which is exactly what we need from Daniel Dae-Kim. We needed that. And what do you think? So I remember when he first showed up, was that the end of episode one?
I think so. Even like episode one or two, they showed us a glimpse of him and I thought it was great. It was a great entry into the show. And then, he is very intimidating and has this smile on his, this like little smile on his face, which is
sinister. Yep.
Like, and he's, you can tell he's smart. He has a plan.
For sure.
And he outplays everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see that throughout the series that our characters think they're protecting the world from the Fire Nation, but the Fire Nation seems always, the Fire Lord seems always a step ahead of them.
You know, I also think, too, one of the things that he has to do is still seem like almost like, because at times it does seem like he cares about his kids.
I know. And it gives me hope, like, does he actually care about Zuko? But
Is it misguided in some way? What's his deal? Because there are moments where you're like, oh, he's really close to just trying to guide them or teach them or grow them.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start to go, it seems like he's using them, you know, and he's turning them into weapons and tools. Yeah. And so, I just think he...
But you wonder, that's probably because he was brought up that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the 100 years, right, of Fire Lords just being oppressive and just this whole kind of thing, right? So it's a culture that Zuko will have
very
to undo.
Very military culture, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so keeping it fire, we have Lizzie Yu, who plays Azula.
Oh, I was sorry to...
Yo, give it to me.
Jump in here, but I was blown away by her entrance.
Yeah.
No, totally unexpected. She was this minor character we thought who was a little girl who acted like her family was attacked by the Fire Nation.
Right.
And then she reveals herself. Oh, I think she looks like, I mean, Azula has to just represent this strength, ambition, athleticism.
Yep.
Like this fire, you know, she is fire.
she is.
And her look on her face, it's Azula. And I'm so excited to see how she's going to play that in the end, you know, the crazy Azula. Oh,
well, okay. That leads me. So some of my points with her is that, you know, she is, again, a young actress. And I think this is her biggest role. And so for her to come out and show this intensity, she has this, it's the stare, it's the look. It's in her eyes. She's intense, but yet I don't know how she does it. I honestly don't know, but you can see a craziness.
Yeah.
you can actually see this like lucid sort of nature in her eyes.
Just a hint of it.
Just a hint.
It's going to grow bigger.
Right. And so you can see the madness sort of growing. And I just think her entry, as you said, into the series was really cool. No one saw that coming, I don't think. And just the fact that she was able to, it really showed how she can manipulate people.
Yes.
And that she is learning from her father, who is manipulating people, right? Mm-hmm. And two can play at that game. She's trying to pick up on what he's putting down. And she's very manipulative. And I just feel like she's pulling that off really well. The crazy thing is, I saw a few interviews with her. She is the sweetest. She is the sweetest girl. Yeah. She's so easygoing in the interviews, and she's so nice, and she has such a big like smile, and she's so.
Isn't that often the case that the villains are like actually very goofy people? Like,
right.
Draco Malfoy. I forget what his actor's name is, but
Tom Felton.
Sorry, did I say Draco Malfoy? I meant Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah.
So yes, Tom Felton described the actor that plays Lucius as just this funny guy, and he just sometimes, or just like Ralph Fiennes, Voldemort.
Yeah, yeah.
They just do things on the spot, and they just, they need that. I think that's the art of acting, where they completely show a different side that they're not really that person in real life, but they can be that dark side person just in the movies.
It's an art. Yeah. It's a talent, it's right? That's what they're bringing to the character. And I actually read, and I've seen a lot of interviews where people talk about the process of getting into that person and getting into like bringing that in, that energy. You have to conjure it. Like if you can't convey that, it looks fake. It looks false.
Yeah.
We're not connecting to it. So it will take you out of the series if you're not able to do it.
Yeah.
So Lizzie, she's doing that. I mean, I don't know how. Some people will kind of make jokes that like, oh no, maybe you conjured some of the your own craziness inside of you into the character. And we all, you know, are dynamic. But I just feel like that she came out, and I just was sort of blown away by her. I'm not, you know, again, I very much, I'm easily entertained. And so as the series is taking me.
I mean, not about me.
No, I think we both are, right? Yeah. I mean, but like,
oh, that's awesome.
The characters we're meant to not like, we're just like, I don't like them. But now as I get to know some of the actors behind them, I'm like, Azul is interesting. It's okay. Before I was just like, okay, enough of her. She's crazy. Get her off the screen. Beat her up, you know, move on. But when, I don't know, for some reason, when
I can't
it goes
get
to
enough
live
of
action,
her.
I know, I know.
Really, like truly, I am always happy to get more scenes of her because she's just doing such a good job.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and her action scenes are great. She's just intense.
Yeah.
She brings an intensity. And
yes, she does. Strength. Wild. I don't know. It's not the strength that I would look for, like to have, like Katara's like calm strength, right?
Yeah.
It's a raw, like,
oh yeah,
just
oh, yeah.
driven by ambition. Such a Slytherin. Sorry. Harry Potter in here.
Such a Slytherin.
But it's somehow, it is fascinating. That's the perfect word. Fascinating.
Yeah, she is. Okay, so now again, this has been our transitional episode where we kind of talk about the main cast, and then we're moving from episode 1 into episode 2 and 3. All right, before we move over into episode 2, though, let's go over a good transitional character here is Maria Zhang.
Such a cute smile.
Such a cute smile. She is a Polish-born Chinese actress who plays Suki, and I just was blown away by her performance. Here's the thing. So during the animated series, I wasn't a huge fan of Suki for some reason, right? I don't know why.
Okay.
It either took too long to get into her, or I'm not really sure, but in the live-action show, Suki's awesome.
Yeah.
She is absolutely awesome. So I rooted for her in Sokka right away. Maria has good moves. She has good presence on screen. And she was totally a convincing warrior, yet a young girl who has never left home. She was curious about those newcomers, but also super intense when she needed to be. And from what I can tell, this is like her first sort of major acting role at all.
Wow.
Right? Now, I bring that up because that to me was impressive. When I looked her up, I thought for sure I would find a list of various roles and things that she had been in. There are a few. There's a couple things here and there, but I was amazed because I really was watching her on screen. And I was like, she's got to be in a ton of stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
She's got to be because she, I don't know what it is, her eye gaze, everything.
She's got an intense stare.
Oh, my God.
Of curiosity, though.
For sure. And then she just conveyed so, again, they all are conveying so much emotion. All of these cast members are doing such a good job. And I normally don't talk about this type of stuff. Yeah. I normally just talk about the story, the plot, the characters, the foreshadowing, the actual dialogue and the quotes and stuff. But these cast members are killing it.
Yes.
Absolutely killing it. So for me, I just, I again, was blown away. Are you team Suki or not?
Oh, of course I am. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. So make sure.
I think her name is Amber Midthunder. She plays Princess Yue.
Yeah.
And I think also such a good choice. Yeah. I mean, she looks perfect like Yue, and I couldn't decide. Like, I don't know. I like Suki. I like Yue, but I am rooting for Suki and Sokka. Yeah. I like Suki. I liked Suki in the original series. I thought she was a strong non-bender woman. Right. Awesome.
I think over time I did, you know, so like initially I was sort of like, what, you know, is this just, I mean, you're curious about her. She's curious about Sokka. And I was kind of like, whatever, but the way I don't know, for some reason, she just, something about this character popped. Yeah. And I think being in episode two, I don't know. I feel like she's going to be a fan favorite and people are really going to be rooting for her and Sokka.
No, you absolutely. Know? She's awesome.
So,
What I think about the entire cast, they all seem, and like you said, they're all very young, but they all seem so confident and comfortable with their roles.
Yeah.
And I have not done any research. I have not seen as many videos of them as you have. And I have no idea if that's true, but it feels like they are just a big family. I can just imagine the cast at the set and just having fun together and but then bringing it when they need to. And I just feel like, it comes across in the entire show so far.
I think when a show is cast this well, it makes me wonder more about those production things and like what they do to bring all these characters and kids together with also seasoned actors, you know, older actors as well, that just make it all mix really well. And I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of retakes that they have to do and different stuff, but they have coached them up and the kids themselves are also just really good.
Yeah.
It really does make me think of Stranger Things and how well those kids performed. And that's why that's been like a worldwide sort of phenomenon, right? Yes. It's been like people know about Stranger Things and it being a Netflix show and this being a Netflix show, they've done it again to me. Whether people like this style of, there was something different about Stranger Things in terms of it being really strange and weird and different. And this being more of your classic sort of fantasy arcs and stuff and hero journey or whatever. And maybe people don't like that as much. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, it's the number one show on Netflix right now. And it will be for a long time. And it is good. I think it's going to grow. We've been watching. We've actually watched it over and over now.
Yep.
We've got it on the background right now.
Right now.
it's awesome. But Maria was great. And I just wanted to kind of, as we transition in episode two, I wanted to pull that out. And I don't know if I mentioned it. She is a Polish-born Chinese actress.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool. I just think her parents, a connection to you and I a little bit, they actually met and we had English as a common language, but they didn't have a common language at first.
Probably,
They're both artists and they kind of met together and they learned a language together and then kind of fell in love. And I thought that was really just a neat story. So anyway, so there's some of your major, there's again, more cast members. I just went down sort of our main cast here to take us into episode two. I told you guys last episode I wanted to do that and I really wanted to get to know them a bit more. So there we go. We'll bring them up throughout our reviews and go follow them. I got links to all their social medias down in the description. And I just, again, blown away. Loving it. I now have some more favorite actors that I want to see in other things as well, too. And I can't wait to see them in season two and season three. Okay, friends. Well, hey, thank you for extending your Avatar experience with us. We are jumping off of here and we'll be back with episode two and episode three. If you have thoughts that you'd like to share with us, then send us a message at theflannelwizard@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us over on Instagram at The Extended Edition. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Yep, yep.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.